This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with Rocky Jordan. We'll hear his story from November 20th, 1949, titled The Big Heist. After that, it's the February 18th, 1952 episode of Suspense, titled The Track of the Cat.
Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, The Big Heist.
It started on the afternoon I took a walk to the British Embassy office. One of my customers the night before had lost his passport at the Tambourine. I was going to turn it over to the consul and have him deliver it to the owner. I went through a large plate glass door into the anteroom of the embassy office. There was a map of the British Isles on the wall and a couple of travel posters of the Dominions. A big mahogany desk stood in the middle of the floor right next to a full waste paper basket. Behind the desk sat a British brunette with a French haircut. She was the consul's secretary. You could tell she was real efficient by the way she was spreading red polish on her fingernail.
Yes? May I help you?
My name's Jordan. I run the Cafe Tambourine. One of your nationals left his passport in my place last night.
Oh?
Well, here it is. You'll see to it that he gets it.
Oh, yes. Just toss it on that pile. My fingernails are still wet.
Oh, sure.
Thanks so much, Mr. Jordan. I'm sure whoever it is that lost their passport appreciates your returning it very much.
Excuse me a moment, Miss...
Buckley, Helen Buckley.
I couldn't help seeing that telegram lying on your desk.
Oh.
It says it's from McLean. Could that be Freddie McLean from London?
Why, yes.
Flew with the RAF, flies British transport now?
The same one.
Oh, we're old friends. We always get together every time he makes Cairo. I see he's coming in.
Yes. Telegram says keep Thursday night open. You saw it.
Say, I don't like to break in on anything, but how about you and I meeting him at the airport together? Have supper on me, rehash old times a bit, and then, well, you two can carry on from there.
Well...
Just a suggestion. Skip it.
No. I suppose it's all right. Might even be fun. It's a date, Mr. Jordan.
Make it Rocky.
All right. Rocky. Thursday evening, then.
Well, Helen Buckley and I were at the airport Thursday evening waiting. The Cairo airport's a modern affair, a very busy place. Planes shuttling in and out from all parts of the world.
TWA flight 907 for Athens, Rome, Geneva, Paris, and New York.
From where we were standing, I could see the big Constellation being readied for its flight to the United States. It gave me a lonely feeling. But I shook it off as the PA spoke again.
British Transport, Flight 6-1, arriving now from London, England.
Oh, that should be Freddie's plane, Rocky.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get closer.
We watched the big plane taxi up to Gate 4. Then they cut the motors and the passengers began to disembark. Then we watched the crew come out, and we were in for a surprise. Freddie McLean wasn't among them.
Hello,
Well, we asked a few questions about him, but no one knew anything. We figured we might as well leave. That's when I spotted an armored car with a couple of guards parked off the side of the field. Alongside the armored car was a black limousine that looked real familiar. It was Captain Sam Sabaya's police car, and he was standing by it, nervously looking at his wristwatch. Sergeant Greco was there, too, and a couple of very British-looking gentlemen in street clothes. It was a cool evening, but they were all sweating. I got a funny notion that maybe they were waiting for the same one Helen and I were, so I decided to find out. Hiya, Sam.
Hmm? Oh, Jordan.
Looks like you're hard at work. Armored truck, guards, grim look.
Yes, Jordan, I am hard at work.
Waiting for something?
Please, Jordan, I do not have time for conversation. Now, if you do not mind, I would appreciate it.
Sorry,
if...
Sam. Just thought I'd say hello.
Yes, yes, of course. Now, if you will excuse me,
yes,
Jordan...
Yes, we've both been disappointed, Sam. I was waiting for a friend who never showed.
Indeed. Well, we shall talk of it another time.
Name's
now...
Freddie McLean. He's a pilot.
What did you say?
Freddie McLean. Are you interested?
Are you here alone, Jordan?
That young lady standing over there is with me. We were waiting together.
You'll be kind enough to get her, Jordan, then step into the rear seat of my limousine.
That an order?
Yes. Mr. Bliss of the British Intelligence Service and I have some questions to ask of you.
Helen and I moved into the back seat of Sam's car. Sam and Mr. Bliss, a thin, wiry, energetic man with a drawn face, sat in front and spoke over the back of their seat. Mr. Bliss carried the ball, and he wasn't soft.
Mr. Jordan, Miss Buckley. Captain Sabaya tells me you were at the airport waiting for Freddie McLean.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you know of McLean?
Well, he's an old friend of mine. I knew him when he was flying in the RAF. He's flying British transport now.
And you were under the impression he was due at the Cairo airport tonight?
That's right.
How did you arrive at that impression?
Hey, what's this all about? Is he coming in or isn't he?
You will please answer Mr. Bliss's question, Jordan.
Helen can tell you.
I got a telegram from him.
A telegram?
Yes.
What did it say?
Not very much. Just keep Thursday evening open. I assumed from that he was flying in Thursday night.
Do you have the telegram, Miss Buckley?
Well, I really don't know. I can look around the office, but I've probably thrown it away.
She had it, though, Bliss. I saw it.
I see.
Well, what happened? What's wrong? Why hasn't he come in?
Captain Sabaya, you'll please take Mr. Jordan and Miss Buckley's addresses so I may question them later, if necessary. Now,
don't we get any explanation?
I'm afraid not.
Not only no explanation, Jordan, but a further order. You are to mention McLean's name to no one. Nor are you to speak of what has occurred here. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Now you are free to go, but do not make any trips or plans of trips out of the city without notifying us first.
Something was up, something big. And whatever it was, it looked like Helen and I were right in the middle. Well, it was past supper time when we left Sam and Bliss. So we picked up a cab and headed for the house of Pompeii. But our appetites were someplace else, and we took it lightly. As we stepped out of the restaurant and started down the Sharia Muhammad Ali, going toward Helen's apartment house, I spotted a tan gabardine overcoat leaning against a telephone pole. It was draped around a heavy-set man with hanging jowls and black horn-rimmed glasses. I knew we were being watched. I saw Helen to her apartment house safely. Then I turned my attention to the guy in the glasses. But as I moved toward him, he moved in the opposite direction. I had to pick up speed. He led me around the corner and down to the alley where he ducked in. I ducked in after him. The man in a gabardine overcoat was still running. I didn't notice the two guys standing against the wall till one of them got his foot in the way.
Just as I figured. Poor sense of balance. Go on, Maxie, help him up.
Oh, save it. I can handle it myself.
No, Maxie wants to help you.
Sure. Maxie wants to help you.
All right, Jordan. Strain yourself.
Nothing strains Maxie. He takes pills.
Yeah, I take pills.
You're a little out of your district, Jordan.
Maybe.
The tambourine's the other way. What you doing over here?
Passing out handbills.
What kind of an answer is that?
What kind of a question is it? What do you guys want?
You were following a friend of ours.
Oh, was I?
He doesn't like to be followed.
Well, neither do I.
What you like isn't the point, Jordan.
Who is he? The guy with the glasses.
A bad question, Jordan. Show him how bad that question was, Maxie.
Sure. Maxie'll show.
Hurt, Jordan?
Let him have his fun. I'll get my turn.
You heard the man, Maxie. Have fun.
Yeah. Maxie's gonna have fun. Yeah.
Okay, Maxie, okay. I can't stand the hilarity.
Yeah.
From now on, Jordan, the only things you follow are blondes. Drape him over that garbage can, Maxie. He gets the point.
took a while for the ground to get steady again. And by then, the two muscles had vanished into the Cairo night. I dragged myself out of the alley and whistled a taxi to a stop. It took me to the Cairo police station for a word with Captain Sabaya. Even at that late hour, Sam was still sitting behind his desk. Bliss of the British Intelligence Service was standing by the window. They both looked real worried, like goldfish in a shark pond.
Jordan, what are you doing here this time of night?
I got a complaint.
But what happened to you?
Helen and I were being followed tonight. After I dropped her off, I tried for the tag man. I didn't get him, but two of his friends got me. I can give you a description of the big boy.
Go on.
Oh, 45 or so. Heavy set. About 5'10", I'd say. 200 pounds. Big jowls, black horn-rimmed glasses. Walks with a lean to the left.
You could identify him if you saw him again, Mr. Jordan?
A pleasure, Mr. Bliss.
What about the two men in the alley, Jordan?
That was too dark. All I can tell you is what their fists felt like.
I shall have Sergeant Greco bring in some pictures from the Rogue Gallery, and perhaps you will be able to find a photograph of the man you followed.
Yeah. Look, fellas, don't you think I've earned some answers? What's this all about? What's the mystery around McLean?
Mr. Bliss, shall Jordan be told?
You might as well tell him, Captain. He's in it now, whether he wants to be or not.
Jordan, earlier today, a transport plane left the London airport carrying cargo. Its destination, the Cairo airport.
And Freddie McLean was the pilot?
Yes, but the flight was to be most secret. No one was to know of it.
Why?
Because of the nature of the cargo. The Federated Bank of London was sending $1 million in gold coin to its branch bank here in Cairo.
Oh, I see. That's what the armored cars and guards were for.
Unfortunately, Jordan, there was a leak. Perhaps the telegram McLean sent to Helen Buckley. Perhaps something else. At any rate, there was a leak. The plane did not arrive at the Cairo airport.
So that's big trouble.
Communication with it was lost someplace over the desert. And so, Jordan, a huge cargo plane, Freddie McLean and two other men, and $1 million in gold coin have all completely vanished.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. One sure way to prove to yourself what a wonderful cooking aid Del Monte tomato sauce is to ask experienced homemakers, cooks who have used it year after year. Mrs. Arthur Bergreen of Portland, Oregon, for instance, is one of these experienced cooks. She said,
"Over the years, I've used lots of Del Monte tomato sauce, and I've always liked it. To me, Del Monte tomato sauce is superior in flavor and rich red color, and it's seasoned just right. You should see my husband go for the rich home-cooked dishes I make with Del Monte tomato sauce. Spanish rice, I think, is his favorite, but he likes them all. Yes, I certainly am a Del Monte fan. Cooking with Del Monte tomato sauce is so easy, and the way it brings out the flavors of the foods it is cooked with is really wonderful."
Thank you, Mrs. Bergreen. Yes, friends, cooking with Del Monte tomato sauce is so easy, and it has a very special way of bringing out all the flavor of the food you cook with it. Look for Del Monte tomato sauce, the original tomato sauce with the matchless flavor. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Big Heist.
Well, Sam had cleared some of it up. At least he had told me why he and Bliss were so worried. So $1 million in gold coin was missing. The problem was how to get it back. I spent a couple of more hours at the station going through some photos Sam had, but I didn't spot the man I tried to follow. Then Sam said I could go. I went back to the tambourine and hit the sack, but I didn't sleep well. I was worried about McLean, why he'd been stupid enough to send a telegram. The next morning, I had a visitor at the tambourine. A skinny guy with a hawk nose and dirty robes and a smell like a camel.
Effendi Jordan, owner of this most noble establishment.
Yeah, that's right.
My name is Luca. I am a driver of the camels. I have followed the desert trails all my life. A humble lot for a humble man.
What's on your humble mind, Luca?
You will please excuse the intrusion, Effendi, but observe this small black book.
It's an address book.
Observe the page I have folded.
My address with phone number. Where'd you get this book, Luger?
On the person of a poor Inglesi who lost himself on the desert.
A flyer?
His clothes were most odd.
He's got a name.
One I do not know.
Where is he now?
Somewhere, but safe. He is then a friend of yours?
Maybe.
And you wish to be taken to him?
And so do the police.
Oh, but Luca cannot permit that. Luca will take the offended Jordan to this man if the offended Jordan will be considerate of the fact that Luca is a poor man with three wives and many, many children.
How much do you want?
Your wish, Effendi.
£5.
Will the good Effendi wish again?
All right, 10 then. Now, come
on. But no police. If the police are called, I shall deny my conversation with you and become as silent as the Sphinx of my forebears.
How do I know you're not trying to get me out in the desert for another reason?
A foreigner who chooses to live in the desert land, Effendi, is one who will take chances.
I got a phone call to make. Be right with you. I walked into the office and picked up the phone. Luca tagged along. He wanted to be sure I didn't ring the police. I didn't. I dialed Helen Buckley's number. It rang a couple of times, and I heard her voice.
Hello.
Hello, Helen. It's Rocky.
Rocky? I'm glad you called. Any news on Freddy?
Maybe. Listen, I haven't got much time. I think I got a lead on him.
A lead? What do you mean?
I got a visitor here right now. Camel driver who says he found someone out in the desert. Freddy, I think, and he's got him hidden away.
Where?
I don't know. I'm going with him now.
How do you know he's telling you the truth?
Oh, I don't.
Rocky, don't do anything foolish.
Well, stick close to your phone. If you don't hear from me in 3 hours, notify Sam.
Yes, of course. And good luck, Rocky.
Thanks. See you later. All right, Luca, let's go. Luca nodded and we left the tambourine. I drove to the outskirts of town where Luca got old-fashioned. He had a couple of horses waiting. We switched and soon we were riding over the sand. He led me over an obscure desert trail over endless dunes of hot, still sand, then turned off the trail and wound me in so many circles I felt like a roulette wheel with a loose bearing. It was about an hour and a half after we left the tambourine that I saw a couple of solitary palm trees jutting up toward the sky. When we got closer, I saw a tent. That's where Luca was taking me. A few minutes later, we were reining our horses to a stop.
You will find the Inglesi in the tent.
I hope so. You coming in?
I will wait outside. The Effendi will go into the tent alone.
Okay, I took it this far. Guess I can take it the rest of the way. I walked to the tent and threw open the flap. First thing I saw was a body draped on a blanket on the floor. It was dressed in aviator's clothes, and the mop of red hair told me it could have been Freddie McLean. But he was lying face down. I went over to him. It was Freddie McLean, all right. There was a bullet wound in his shoulder, and he was sleeping. I shook him gently and woke him.
Rocky. Rocky Jordan.
The same.
Where am I?
You're in a camel driver's tent on the desert.
But how did you get here?
Long story, Mac. How do you feel?
Well, better. The last thing I remember, I was wandering around the desert.
Yeah. You strong enough to ride a horse?
Yes, I think so.
How's the shoulder?
Well, as good as can be expected.
We got to get into the city. A lot of people are wondering about you.
I can imagine.
Look, I know about the gold coin you were flying for the bank. What happened?
I still don't believe it.
Let's hear it.
Well, we were flying without incident until we hit a stretch of the desert close to Cairo. The next thing I knew, there was a strange voice on my radio. It came from a fighter plane on my tail.
Fighter plane?
Yes. He had his guns on us. Well, we weren't carrying any guns. It was a secret flight, and we didn't want to get any attention by loading up with guns. Anyway, the fighter plane made us cut our radio, then forced us into a landing on some isolated airstrip in the desert somewhere.
It sure took a lot of planning.
Well, they thought it was worth it. There was a lot of gold on my plane.
What happened to your crew?
Dead. I got away somehow. I imagine they didn't care much. They knew I'd caught a bullet, and I suppose they thought that I'd die out on the desert.
You remember where that airstrip is?
Approximately.
All right, let's get into town and tell Sabaya. Come on, I'll help you.
No, please do not! Jordan! Effendi!
Luca! Luca!
You won't answer, Jordan. Maxie just separated him.
Yeah, Maxie just separated him.
You fellas are pretty busy, aren't you?
Oh, there's enough to do. Maxie, throw a little sand over that camel driver and scatter the horses.
Sure, Zarko.
You know, McLean, we owe Jordan a vote of thanks. He was a good enough Joe to lead us right to you. All right, out of the tent. All right, climb in the back seat of the Jeep.
What's the tour?
Don't ask. You won't like it.
Let's just say a friend of mine's real anxious to see the both of you.
I bet he's nearsighted.
And also rich. You know, he just picked up $1 million in gold someone left sitting around in an old airplane.
He won't have it long. He'll lose it in taxes.
Uh-uh. My friend just won't report it as income. And anyone who tries to is going to get separated. Just like Luca.
Well, the second lap of that desert journey of mine was taken in the back seat of a Jeep. Zarco drove, and Maxie sat in front with a Tommy gun across his lap. It didn't take a sand diviner to guess where we were going. An hour or so later, we were pulling into an old abandoned oasis, stuck in the middle of some ruins from an early dynasty. There was an airstrip leading to it, probably left over from the last war. To one side, under some camouflage netting, stood the British transport plane McLean had flown from London. Alongside of it stood a fighter plane. That's all we saw. Next thing I knew, we were hustled down some stone stairs. The door was open in front of us, and a heavy hand gave us a shove.
Now go away. I'll be back in a minute with some company.
What's that? How's your shoulder, Freddy?
All right.
Put a bar across the door.
Yes, I don't see any other way out.
You're really playing for keeps.
I can't understand how they got wind of this thing. How they knew I was flying in the gold on that particular day.
Well, I can answer that.
Well, but how could you know? The whole thing was secret. What we were flying and especially when.
You gave it away.
I did?
A telegram you sent.
Telegram?
To Helen Buckley. Saying keep Thursday night open. Anyone who saw it could figure out when you were coming in. I thought you had more sense than that.
But, Rocky, I didn't send her a telegram.
Huh?
I didn't. I flew in the war. I know how to keep it secret.
Somebody sent it. There must have been a leak in London someplace, like Sabaya said. Telegram was used as a signal. It was sent to her to tell what day you were flying. Zarco's boss probably kept an eye on the telegrams going to Helen Buckley and picked up the right day that way.
Yeah. Do you think there's any way out of here?
If they gave us long enough time to let our fingernails grow, how else we can dig through those walls?
Oh, you make it sound very hopeful.
The only hope we've got is Helen. I told her to notify Sam if I didn't get in touch with her in 3 hours. The 3 hours are up.
Well, they would still have to find us.
Yeah, that's right.
That goes back.
With his boss, I'll bet.
There they are. Yes, the most joyful sight. Good afternoon, Mr. Jordan, Mr. McLean.
You know, we almost met once before in an alley by Helen Buckley's place.
Yes, almost.
Did you do all the brain work on this?
Most of it.
Must have given you a headache.
I had some notable assistants from Zarco and Maxey and the Confederate in London. And someone else in Cairo whom both of you know very well. Come in, Miss Buckley.
Helen.
Yes, Rocky.
Well, guess I had the telephone conversation with the wrong person.
Oh, for us, it was the right person. Instead of notifying the police, I called Mr. Bannister.
And this, Mr. Jordan, is the result.
It's all over, huh?
The gold is hidden in the ruins of this oasis. It shall be flown out of Egypt the moment you two are disposed of. Now, Zarco, my lad.
Hey, Zarco, quick!
Zarco, see what's going on.
Yeah, I'll go take a look.
Bannister! It's the police! They got Maxie! They're all around! They're all been...
Bannister! The police!
Zarco sprawled out on the dirt floor, pretty dead. Helen stood looking at him, too stunned to move. But Bannister wasn't. He started up the stone steps looking for a place to run. I caught him on the top step and grabbed his back of his shirt collar. Spun around, tried to use his knee, but my fist was fast. That bounced him off the dirt wall. I moved in to try again, but Sam Sabaya stepped up and stopped the fight.
That will be sufficient, Jordan. All right, men. Take Bannister away.
Have him take Helen Buckley, too, Sam. She and McLean are down in that room.
Also take Miss Buckley into custody and see if Mr. McLean is all right.
Well... That's it, Sam. You'll find the gold coin hidden in the ruins someplace.
Bannister will tell us exactly where. Do not fear.
Oh, I'm still a little confused, Sam. Mm-hmm. How'd you get here just when you did? How'd you know where to come?
You told me, Jordan.
I told you.
Do you not remember?
No.
But nevertheless, you did, Jordan. Come, let us go back to the police station. I shall explain it all to you there.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
Thanksgiving Day coming up next Thursday, one thing is sure. You won't have to worry about what the main dish is going to be. But planning dishes to go with the turkey is sometimes a problem. So here's a suggestion.
Why not serve shrimp or crab cocktails? They're easy to fix, and they're a grand way to get your meal off to a flying start.
Yes, a shrimp or crab cocktail is a wonderful starter for that Thanksgiving Day dinner. So easy to fix and so tasty when made with Del Monte catsup. Use it plain or in any special recipe you like. Yes, seafood cocktails certainly profit by the extra zip and zest you get in Del Monte catsup. You see, Del Monte catsup is made with pineapple vinegar, the exclusive, superlatively fine vinegar that coaxes out all the very best tomato flavor in catsup.
No other catsup has pineapple vinegar. Only Del Monte catsup has it.
And Del Monte catsup costs less than many other quality brands. Ask your grocer for Del Monte catsup today. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, that was just about it. Sam left some of his men to gather up the gold coin, and the rest of us rode back into Cairo. Freddie McLean was taken to the hospital to have his shoulder dressed. Helen Buckley and Bannister made the lockup. I went to Sam's office with him and Mr. Bliss, the special British investigator. The first thing Sam did was dispatch the coroner to take care of Zacco and Maxie. Second thing he did was brew some of that very strong Egyptian coffee. We all had a cup, and for once, it tasted good. Well, Mr. Bliss, what are you going to do about Bannister's London contact, the one who sent the telegram through to Helen?
I'll have my London office trace the telegram. They'll find out who sent it and make the arrest. After that, I'll wire the London bank and tell them their $1 million in gold coin has been recovered.
Yeah, that shouldn't make them sore. Well, Sam, what about it?
What about what, Jordan?
I still want to know how you got to Bannister's hideout.
As I said, Jordan, you told us how. A moment, please. Now, listen.
Listen, I haven't got much time. I think I got a lead on him.
A lead? What do you mean?
I got a visitor here right now. A camel driver who says he found someone out in the desert. Freddy, I think. And he's got him hidden away.
Where?
I don't know. I'm going with him now.
How do you know he's telling you the...
Well, Jordan, does that answer your question?
My conversation with Helen. He had my phone tapped.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm responsible for that, Mr. Jordan. You see, I couldn't trust anyone. While you were here last night, I had my men set it up.
After that, Jordan, it was just a matter of following you through the desert.
Well, I'm not complaining.
At any rate, Jordan, Mr. Bliss has now learned something that I have known for a long, long time.
What's that, sir?
If one ever wishes to locate the source of trouble in Cairo, one should simply observe your movement very carefully.
Why?
Because somehow, Jordan, you always manage to end up right in the middle of it.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte catsup and chili sauce, Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes, and Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Gomer Kuhl and Larry Roman, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jane Avello as Sam Sabayo, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arundt. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is High Pressure. What is more taste-tempting than a dish of whole kernel corn, steaming hot with melting butter? Why, nothing, if it's Del Monte whole kernel corn. Extra sweet, extra tender, real corn patch flavor. That's Del Monte whole kernel corn. Try it. Larry Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers bring you Mr. Richard Widmark in tonight's presentation of
Suspense.
Tonight, Autolite presents a dramatization of Walter Van Tilbert Clark's Study in Panic, The Track of the Cat, starring Mr. Richard Widmark.
Mr. Wilcox.
Well, gas me up if it isn't Sam, my Autolite spark plug man. How's it going, Sam?
Great. You mean my exclusive Autolite plug check indicator?
Ah, that super sleuth is really doing a job, eh, Sam?
You bet. It quickly and accurately shows my customers if their car's spark plugs need cleaning, or if they're worn out or wrong for their style of driving.
And if they need cleaning, Sam?
Why, then I do the job fast and fine with my modern equipment.
And if those spark plugs are worn out or wrong?
Oh, you know the answer, Mr. Wilcox.
I sure do, Sam. You install ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs for smoother performance, quick starts, and gas savings. So, friends, take a tip from me and visit your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer. You can learn his location by calling Western Union by number and asking for Operator 25. She will quickly tell you the location of your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, with The Track of the Cat and the performance of Mr. Richard Widmark, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Gotta get this fire going. I got it. It's my last chance. I'll freeze to death out here tonight if I don't. That or be cat meat. Snow. Nothing but snow. And that black murdering devil waiting out there in the dark for me. That big black cat waiting for his chance. Ah, there she goes. That'll hold Mr. Cat for a while. Cats are afraid of fire. Even big black ones. Even a big black panther big as a horse won't fool around a fire, no, sir. Oh, what am I talking about? Where are you going to find a black panther on a range in Nevada? Mountain lion, that's all he is. Big, maybe, but just a plain mountain cat, and that's all. Nothing but superstition, all that other talk. Crazy Indian superstition. Yeah, fire sure makes a man feel good. Good, kind of drowsy. No sleep, though. Mustn't go to sleep. That's all that cat's waiting for out there in the trees. Me to go to sleep and the fire go out. Gotta keep awake. Gotta do something to keep awake. Think about tracking the cat. How I got started. 2 days, 2 nights. Almost 3 nights ago. 5 o'clock in the morning. Asleep in the bunkhouse with a storm beginning outside, but me not hearing it. Not hearing anything, because I was asleep. So sound asleep.
Kurt. Kurt. Wake up. Wake up, Kurt.
Arthur, what's the matter? What's the matter with you?
Cows are balling up in the canyon. Something's out.
Oh, for Pete's sake. You have to wake me up every time you have one of your crazy dreams. Go back to bed.
It's no dream, Kurt.
Oh, you too, Hal, huh?
You only hear it when the wind's right. Listen.
Well, how long's that been going on? Why didn't you let me know sooner?
We've just been awake a few minutes. We wanted to be sure.
A few minutes. And that going on all the time? Fine couple of brothers I got to help me run a ranch. One good for nothing but dreaming, and the other good for nothing but thinking about that gal of his.
Let's leave her out of it, huh?
How can I leave her out of it? You practically moved her into the house, didn't you?
Quit ragging the kid, Kurt. She's just here for a visit. You know that.
Yeah. Well, get your clothes on. What are you standing there for? You think that cat's going to wait for us?
You figure it is a cat?
What else could it be, running cattle like that? Or maybe you think it's that Black Panther Joe Sam talks about, huh? I swear, Arthur, sometimes I think you're as crazy as that crazy old Indian.
Could be. Could be that me and Joe Sam are just the ones that ain't crazy.
Indian lover and cat lover. But don't think you ain't gonna go out there with me because you are.
Any way you want it, Kurt.
I'll go with you, Kurt.
Oh, no. No, you gotta stick around and take care of that gal. Yeah, listen to that. I woke the old lady up. She's come down to the kitchen. Suppose now she's going to give me some kind of argument.
Why you always got to pick on everybody, Kurt? First Gwen, now Ma.
What's the matter, Hal? You worried about me and that gal Gwen of yours? Huh? Come on, let's go. Up kind of early, ain't you, Ma?
Hi, Ma.
Hello, Ma. I figured you'd be wanting breakfast.
Just coffee. Some cat's running the cattle up in the canyon.
I heard. You going up there?
Well, you don't think I'm going to sit around here on my hands while some thieving mountain cat kills off our best steers, do you?
Well, sit down, all of you. Here's your coffee.
Thank you, Ma.
Thanks, Ma.
Kurt.
What?
I don't want for you to go. I suppose what I got to say don't carry much weight around here, but I don't want for you to go.
Well, I'm going. And so's your dreamer boy, Arthur.
It's starting a blizzard out, Kurt, and a bad one.
I've been out in a little snow before, ain't I?
Well, it ain't the same. It's the first snow of the year.
Nah, I thought so. You've been talking to that crazy old Indian, too, haven't you?
Well, I ain't either. Can't nobody hardly talk to him today, the shape he's in.
All spooked up again, huh? Black Panther's first snow. And you believe in it.
Where is he, Ma?
Oh, I told him to fetch some wood to get him inside. Wonder he ain't froze to death out there half the night, nothing but his shirt and jeans and them little thin moccasins.
Maybe I better go get
him. Will you sit down and drink your coffee? We gotta be leaving here in a Well, if it ain't our little lady visitor.
Good morning.
Hello, honey.
Morning, Gwen.
Come sit down. Have some hot coffee, child.
Thank you.
No need for you to got up this early, you
Maybe
know.
She got up special just to see us off.
See, who off? Where?
Oh, mountain cats after the cattle. Kurt's bound they're going up there to get him.
Oh, Hal, in this storm?
Don't worry about your precious Hal. I'm leaving him here to take care of you.
I said I'd go, didn't I?
Besides, if it is that spook panther at Joe Sam's, I'll need Arthur here to make big medicine. He's almost as good at that Indian medicine as Joe Sam himself, ain't you, Art, huh?
Never will learn not to ride a good thing too hard, will you, Kurt?
Hmm.
I guess I'm a little confused. Spook panthers, Indian medicine?
It's nothing, honey. It's just Kurt's little joke.
Yeah.
Here's Joe Sam.
Close the door after him, Hal.
Sure, Ma.
That's right. Now go on, just dump it in the wood box, Joe Sam. That's right. Now drink this hot coffee. For land's sakes, you're shaking like a leaf. Joe Sam, here. Coffee.
Yeah, he don't want no coffee. He don't even hear you. He just wants to sit there and go off into one of them trances of his. Hey, Joe Sam. You seeing that spook panther now, Joe Sam?
Leave him alone, Kurt.
I do wish somebody would tell me what this is all about. Unless it's a family secret.
Well, there, you hear that, Joe Sam? Go ahead, tell the little lady about that big old black spook. Yeah, it looks like I'll have to do the honors myself. You see, it's this way, little lady. According to Joe Sam, there's a black panther roams this part of the country, comes with the first snow every year. And he's big, big as a horse, and eyes like coals of fire. And you can see right through him. And you can shoot right through him, too. And still, he'll keep coming until he gets you, because he can't never die. He's a spook.
Kind of frightening.
Nah, for old women and for dreamers, maybe. Now, come on, dreamer boy, let's go. Suppose you're gonna wear that old cowhide parka, too. Makes you look even more like a medicine man.
Keeps me warm.
Oh, be careful. Please. And don't stay out there beyond nightfall.
Yeah, sure, sure.
We will, Ma.
Arthur.
Well, come to life, did he?
Arthur, no go.
It's all right, Joe Sam.
No, Arthur, not. Please, no go.
I got to, Joe Sam. We both do.
Will you come on and stop palavering with that old fool?
All right, Kurt, all right.
You go, Arthur?
Got to. But don't you worry.
Then you go. But you'll not come back. You'll not ever, ever come back.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Richard Widmark in The Track of the Cat. Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Sam, my Autolite spark plug man, why do you recommend ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs?
Why, that's easy, Mr. Wilcox. It's because...
Because they're designed by the same skilled Autolite engineers who design the coil, distributor, and all the other important parts of complete ignition systems used as original equipment on many leading makes of our finest cars, trucks, and tractors. Eh, Sam?
That's right. Those Autolite spark plugs are designed to work as a team with the complete ignition system. Take the new Autolite resistor spark plug, for instance.
It gives smoother performance, greater gas savings, and quicker starts. And it's only one of a complete line of ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs designed for every use.
So see your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer soon.
Right. Your Autolite spark plug dealer's exclusive plug check indicator will quickly show you if your spark plugs are right for your style of driving. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Richard Widmark in Elliot Lewis's production of The Track of the Cat, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Even after we was saddled up and heading out across the range, I was still laughing to myself at what the old man had said to Arthur about not coming back, and how solemn he said it. I tried to get a look at Arthur to see how he was taking it, but you never could tell with that one. Well, we hit the draw that leads into the canyon about daylight. It's a real box canyon with a steep slope to the north and a sheer drop off the east face. We couldn't hear the cattle now, but we could see their tracks in the snow where they was heading up the canyon. And then I saw what I'd been looking for.
Hey, look. Look at that. You see them tracks?
Cat, all right. Big one.
Yeah. Pretty near as big as a horse at that. But you won't see through the cat that made them tracks. He's real enough. Well, come on. Most like he's still up there. Not what he is, them fool horses.
Look. Up ahead.
What? It's a steer. He's dead and with his neck broke by the looks.
That's what ails the horses. They don't like the blood.
Yeah.
Look up there. You're right.
Two more. That's three of my best steers. Oh, he's been up here killing for fun.
Don't look like he's up here now, though. There goes the track up in North Slope.
Yeah, he's gone, all right, but he ain't been gone long. Tracks as fresh and clear as print on a page. I'm going after him.
You'll need snowshoes. You'll need grub. I'll go back after it if you like.
I'll go myself if it's all the same. You stay here and hold the trail.
Either way.
No, not either way. That way. Unless you're worrying about what Joe Sam said.
I'm not worrying.
And don't go dreaming off, because I want you to be here when I get back.
I'll be here.
All right, then. Keep your eyes open.
Sure. And Kurt.
Yeah?
If I were you, I'd leave Hal's girl alone. A smart one, a real smart one. Like he was reading my mind. He knew I wanted to get that gal off by herself. And with Ma taking care of her housework and Hal out doing the chores, he knew I'd have my chance. And that's just how it happened, too. Because a little while later, I was sitting in the kitchen at the ranch. Nobody there but old Joe Sam. course, he didn't matter. And little Gwen sitting right across the table from me.
But how did such a story ever get started? About the panther?
Joe Sam says he's seen it. Joe Sam says this old spook panther up and killed his wife and all his kids about 80 years ago.
80 years?
Sure. Joe Sam's well over 100, or so he claims. Ain't that right, you crazy old fool?
Kurt, you shouldn't talk to him like
that. Yeah, he don't hear it. He don't hear nothing when he gets like this. But don't you worry, little lady. I'm going to bring you back a panther skin all the same. May not be black, and may not be big as a horse, but it'll make a real nice present from your brother-in-law to the bride and the groom. Providing, of course, that it works out that way.
Providing what works out that way?
Providing I am your brother-in-law and Hal is the groom.
I don't like that kind of talk, Kurt.
Talk never did a gal no damage, did it? Ah, time to go. How about a little kiss to keep me warm out there, huh?
Kurt. Kurt, no. Don't.
Ah, come on, honey.
Arthur.
What's the matter with him?
Arthur.
Shut up, you.
Arthur.
I told you to shut up.
You. Man, an old man like that.
Ah, he's crazy. Somebody had to snap him out of it. Well, I'm off. Maybe I get that kiss when I bring you back your panther, huh?
I don't care if I never set eyes on you again the rest of my life.
Only it wasn't me she wasn't going to see again for the rest of her life. Because when I got back to the canyon, I found my brother Arthur laying in the snow. And three deep gashes in his back like the stabs of a knife. And his neck was broke. And all around him was the track of the cat. I lashed him across the saddle as gentle as I could, and I hit the horse in the rump to send him back home. Then I set out to track the cat. It was easy at first, with the bare paw snowshoes, the trail good and clear, and the weather lifting. Then in the late afternoon, I saw him. The other side of a ravine, dark and bulky like a shadow against the snow. I had him full in my sights. I fired and I missed. He was up the rocks in 10-foot leaps and over the ridge before I could shoot again. Then I remembered something. I checked Arthur's gun. It had an empty shell in it. He'd fired at something, too, and missed. Now we both had. And then the storm come up again. And after a while, I couldn't see 50 yards ahead of me. And that was the first time I heard that other voice.
Kurt. Kurt.
Who's there? Who is it?
Nobody, Kurt. Just you.
Well, who are you?
I'm the caution in you, Kurt. Maybe you never knew you had it before. I'm the coward in you.
I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid of man, nor cat, nor spook.
Maybe. But it's getting dark, Kurt. Nightfall's coming, Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so. So it is.
Better find a place to hole up for the night, Kurt. A good, safe place. While you can still see.
Well, yeah, maybe I had that in your head.
Because a man can't see in the dark, Kurt.
Who said he could?
But there's something out here that can. That can see in the dark real good. That hunts in the dark. The cat.
It was getting dark for sure. Almost the dark of night when I finally found what I was looking for. A little cave halfway up the other side of the ravine. I worked my way up to it when all at once I thought of something. The cat had holed up from the storm just the same as me. Suppose he'd holed up here. For a long time, I just stood there listening. But there was nothing but the wind and the whistle of the snow. And then, real slow, with my knees shaking a little, I crept up to it. My finger on the trigger of the gun. And I lit a match.
The cave was empty. And it was dry. I crawled in. I ate some of the bread and jerky beef I'd brought along. Made a cigarette and smoked it. Then lay back. Let the tiredness go out of my bones. It was warm and cozy. I felt good. Real good. And warm. And drowsy.
Kurt. Hello, Kurt. You in there, Kurt?
Art, where are you?
Right here, outside the cave. You can look right through the wall and see me if you try.
Yeah, but what's the matter with you? Your eyes and the snow all on your face.
I'm dead. Don't you remember, Kurt? And I've come to help you, Kurt.
Yeah, Art, yeah, help me.
Listen, you hear?
The cat. It's sniffing out there. It's right outside the wall.
Look close and you can see him. Can you see him now?
Yeah, black. It's black and big as a horse. Eyes like coals of fire, but he can't get through the wall, Art. He don't know how to get through that wall.
That's why Joe Sam's here.
Joe Sam?
See him? See him out there on the slope? You see him laughing?
Art, he'll tell him. He'll tell the cat about the wall. Don't let him, Art. Don't let him.
Too late, Kurt.
Arthur, help me. Help me.
Too late now, Kurt. Too late.
Arthur! I was lying there in the cave, and it was dark. So it was a dream. Sure it was a dream. But was it all a dream? I listened, and then I heard something that could be. All right, suppose he was out there. I couldn't stay holed up there forever by a stinking mountain cat. I reached over for my rifle, and then I bent my knees up, and I kicked out with all my might, and the wall went flying out into the ravine, and I was crouching there with the rifle, and there was nothing. No cat. No tracks. Nothing.
Better head for home, boy. You've got daylight now. Head while the heading's good.
I can't do that. I swore I'd get that cat.
You've got a long way to go, Kurt.
I swore for Art. And I promised Gwen. What'll I tell Gwen?
You have enough on your hands just getting back before it's dark again.
Well, I sure hate to give it up, though.
What's the matter with you? Don't you know yet?
Know what?
You're not hunting that cat anymore. That cat's hunting you.
I laced on the bear paws and I started down the ravine. It was still snowing, but I could see pretty good now. And I'd taken my directions the night before, down the ravine, up the other side, half a day north along the ridge, then down the other side, and keep going until you see the ranch. I was making pretty fair time. I figure it was just about midday when I seen the sun break through a hole in the clouds way off to my right. And then I stopped, because there was something wrong. Awful wrong.
What's it doing up there, Kurt? What's the sun doing up there?
I don't know. It can't be.
You're supposed to be going north.
Sure I am. Half a day north along the ridge, then down the other side, sure.
The sun's on your left when you travel north, Kurt.
Oh, and it's on my right. A whole half a day. I've been going the wrong direction a whole half a day.
You're going to be caught out after dark again, Kurt. You're going to be caught out after dark. That's all he's waiting for, Kurt. Waiting for the dark.
I can't. I can't get caught out. I gotta make it.
Never. You'll never make it.
What'll I do? What am I gonna do?
Run. Keep running.
I can't. I can't run much more.
Think of something. Think.
I can't think.
Think. A fire.
Yeah, if I only had a fire.
That's it. A fire. That's it.
A fire.
That'll hold Mr. Black Cat, afraid of fire, ain't you, you murdering devil? That'll hold you, a fire, a great big roaring fire.
It's all right now. It's gonna be all right. I got branches cut enough to last all night. Nothing to do now but take it easy and feed the fire. He's out there in the trees somewhere, but he won't come near this fire. No, sir, he won't. Just keep smoking. Keep yourself awake. Keep your eye on that fire. Just watch the fire. Just keep watching.
Too late, Kurt. Huh? Too late.
Arthur! The fire's gone out.
Gone out? I gotta fix it quick.
Too late, Kurt. He's here. The cat.
The cat.
Crouching there to make you spring. You see him behind that tree, big as a horse and black as night and eyes like...
Help me, Arthur! Help me!
Gun. Shoot. Shoot while you still got the chance right between those burning eyes. Shoot.
I'll shoot!
Too late, Kurt. You shot right through him, but he's coming at you. Throw the gun away. It's no good now, Kurt. Run, your only chance. Run, faster. Faster, Kurt. Don't fall. He's right behind you, Kurt. Faster, faster. Look out. You're falling. You're falling, Kurt. You're falling. Ow!
My brother Arthur the night before, and the next day we went to look for Kurt, Joe Sam and me. We found him where he'd fallen over the cliff of the canyon, all stiff and twisted in the snow. Later, we went up to see what happened. You could tell he'd been running when he fell, running away from something and afraid for his life. Only there was nothing there. No tracks except just his. Nothing.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Richard Widmark.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why, during the early months of 1952, the Autolite family joins in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is made up of the nearly 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and in still other Autolite plants in many foreign countries. Our family also includes more than 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as 96,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our Autolite family will salute the Studebaker Corporation on the next Autolite Suspense television program. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense on television so you'll be sure to see this program. And remember, be with us next week for another thrilling Autolite Suspense program on radio.
Next week on Suspense, our star will be Miss Linda Darnell, in a story about a woman who knew her husband was trying to kill her and was powerless to stop it. A dramatic report we call A Killing in Las Vegas. In weeks to come, we shall also present Herbert Marshall and Frank Lovejoy, all on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The Track of the Cat was adapted for Suspense by Sylvia Richards from the book by Walter Van Tilburg Clark. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Lee Millar, Martha Wentworth, Sharon Douglas, and Parley Bear.
Tonight's appearance of Richard Widmark was made possible through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studios. Mr. Widmark may currently be seen in the Technicolor production, Red Skies of Montana.
And remember, next week on Suspense, Miss Linda Darnell in A Killing in Las Vegas.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Relic Radio Show for this week. There's more from Rocky Jordan Suspense, past episodes of this podcast and all of the other podcasts, and our Shoutcast stream there. Lots to listen to, made possible by your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Be back tomorrow with Case Closed, and next Tuesday with our next episode of The Relic Radio Show.